أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أم حسبتم أن تدخلوا الجنة ولما يأتكم مثل الذين خلوا من قبلكم مستهم البأساء والضراء وزلزلوا حتى يقول الرسول والذين آمنوا معه متى نصر الله؟ ألا إن نصر الله قريب. يسألونك ماذا ينفقون؟ قل ما أنفقتم من خير فللوالدين والأقربين واليتامى والمساكين وابن السبيل وما تفعلوا من خير فإن الله به عليم. كتب عليكم القتال وهو كره لكم وعسى أن تكرهوا شيئا وهو خير لكم وعسى أن تحبوا شيئا وهو شر لكم والله يعلم وأنتم لا تعلمون. Do you think that you will enter into Jannah without such trials, such as those that came to those before you? They encountered suffering, adversity, and they were shaken in spirit, that even the Rasul and those who believed with him said crying out, when is the help of Allah Ta'ala going to come? Behold, the help of Allah Ta'ala is always close at hand. Adversity, suffering, difficulties are the things that must come in the way of believers. Sometimes it's suffering, sometimes it's adversity, sometimes it's poverty, sometimes it's fear. And sometimes the fear is such that you are shaken, right to your roots you are shaken. So this is not a punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always, rather it is to strengthen your faith. It's a trial of love that under these circumstances, are you still going to hold firm with Allah ta'ala? Or are you going to move away? Are you there with Allah Ta'ala only for the times of prosperity and happiness? And at the time of difficulty and adversity, do you shake away? Do you move away? يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ. And they ask you, what should they spend in the cause of Allah? قُلْ مَا أَنْفَقْتُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ. Then whatever good you spend, then it is for the parents, for the relatives, for the orphans, for the needy, and for the traveler. And whatever good you do, then Allah Ta'ala is fully aware of all what you do. There was a general law of spending out in the path of Allah Ta'ala. So the Sahaba Kiram were anxious about two things. One is what amount should we be spending? And number two, what are the avenues that we spend upon? Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says that the Sahaba Kiram were the most perfect of people after the Anbiya alayhi salam. They were so committed and so concerned about their deen that they asked very few questions, because everything that was told to them was taken with a lot of respect and a lot of regards. So when they took things so seriously, then there were very few occasions that they had needed to ask Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Quran, there are just about 13 questions that they had asked, 13 to 15 questions that they had asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One was about spending. Ma amwaluna, ma nunfiqu minha, wa ayna nada'uha. That our wealth, that how much should we spend, and which avenues should we be spending? So how much you must spend, that is left to the individual after seeing to all his needs and requirements, immediate and future needs. Needs means his needs and the needs of his dependents. then whatever is left thereafter, then he should be spending. His needs, the needs of his dependents, and his immediate and future needs. So whatever he requires for all this, he should keep back, and what is over and above this, he should spend out in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Not seeing to one's dependents and require personal requirements is not liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have destroyed the right of someone. Your dependence is your duty, and not spending upon them and spending the wealth out, then too this is exploiting the rights of someone. Then what are the avenues that one should be spending upon? Then it should be, let it be in this order. First upon the parents, then the relatives, according to how close they are. That is why the word aqrab has been used. The one that is closer to you, then he deserves more of your additional surplus wealth. The closer and the more you would spend upon him. Then the orphan, the needy, and the traveler. And remember, whatever good you spend, whatever good you do, then Allah Ta'ala is fully aware of all what you do. The word that has been used here is good. That is, in all your good works, your charitable good works, works of generosity, this must be the theme, that it must be good. What you're spending out, let it not be bad and defective, something to be thrown away, or something that is defective, therefore you give it out in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Like if someone were to give you a gift, and because it was defective, and it was redundant, he gave it to you as a gift, you would also not appreciate this. So you're giving a gift in the name of Allah Ta'ala, then let it be good. Number two, it must be good for the recipient as well. The one that is receiving your good, your works of generosity, then it must be good for him as well. Like giving a gun into the hands of a madman. Obviously, it's not a good thing. In itself, it may be a good thing, but this is not the right recipient. He may destroy himself, or he may hurt someone else. So it must be good for the one that is receiving as well. Number three, it must be given with a good heart. It mustn't be done because of ostentation and show, to show one's generosity and impress upon the other, or despise the next person. So it must be done with a good heart. And overall, Allah Pak says us this maxim and this law, that whatever good you do, then remember Allah Ta'ala is fully aware of this. Let that good not be just confined and restricted to wealth. Any type, any form of good, a type of kindness, whether it is a helping hand, whether it is some good counsel and advice, whether it is a word of consideration, whether it is forgiving and overlooking a person's fault. So overall, any good that you do, so whatever good you do, be it in cash, be it in kind, be it in words, be it in your behavior and conduct, you forgave someone, you overlook that person's fault, a word of kindness, a word of sympathy, at the time of happiness, a word of congratulation. So all these are good things, and these are things that are the very teachings of the Sunnah and the teaching of Deen. So whatever good you do, then remember Allah Ta'ala is fully aware of all what you do. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِتَالُ وَهُوَ كُرْهٌ لَكُمْ. Initially, jihad was prohibited, then permission was given, أُذِينَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا. And then it was prescribed and became an obligation. So fighting is prescribed for you and you dislike it. And it is possible that you dislike something which is better for you and you like something which is bad for you. So Allah Ta'ala knows and you do not know. Don't employ your reasoning and your thinking and your thought before the command of Allah Ta'ala, for you do not know immediate consequences and results and future consequences and results. You do not know what is the best thing for you and what is not the best thing for you. So leave these matters to Allah Ta'ala. When He decides, then take it and embrace it wholeheartedly. Again, they ask about fighting in the prohibited months. The four prohibited months, we all know, Zulqa'dah, Zulhijjah, Muharram, and Rajab. So in these 4 months, initially, fighting was prohibited. Like, it was compulsory to honor the sanctity of this month, and fighting also was not permissible. Mistakenly, the Sahaba-i-Kiram had engaged in some jihad with some kuffar, not knowing that the sacred month had already started. Perhaps it was Dhul-Qa'dah, and they thought perhaps it is the 30th of Shawwal, and they did not realize, no, it was the 1st of Dhul-Qa'dah. So, pure mistake, and they had engaged in fight. So, the Kuffar found the occasion to taunt the Muslims that it was the prohibited month and you engage in fighting. So say, definitely fighting in this month is a grave sin. But even more grave in the sight of Allah Ta'ala is preventing access to the path of Allah Ta'ala, like you people are engaged. The one that is in the path of Allah Ta'ala and you preventing access to him and denying, rejecting Allah Ta'ala, and as well as denying access to the Masjidul Haram and removing its people therefrom. So these sins that you people are engaged in is far worse than what the Muslims have done purely in accident. And you don't even talk about it, you just disregard it and ignore it. Well, fitnatu akbaru min al-qatl. And remember, the evil that you are involved in of oppression and inciting wrong and inciting aggression, this is far worse than just killing. One is, you are killing at the time of war, but you are inciting evil, provoking all the time, oppressing people, suppressing people's rights, driving people out of their homes. So what you are involved in is far worse. And these kuffar, the reason for their enmity against you is your iman. So they will not cease fighting you until they turn you from your deen, if they can. But remember, if anyone turns away from his deen and he dies in the state of disbelief, then these people's deeds are rendered void and useless in this life and the next. And they are the dwellers of Jahannam. They will dwell therein forever. Those who believe suffer exile, strive in the path of Allah Ta'ala with might and main. These are the ones that rightfully long the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala is most forgiving and most merciful.